Hear the word of God as it's written in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 15, reading verses 19 to 28, which can be found on page 91 of the Pew Bibles. Moses, the author of Leviticus, gives us an insight into how women were religiously excluded in his day. Leviticus chapter 15, reading from verse 19. Whenever a woman has her menstrual period, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. Anyone who touches her during that time will be unclean until evening. Anything on which the woman lies or sits during the time of her period will be unclean. If any of you touch her bed, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. If you touch any object she has sat on, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. And this includes her bed or any other object she has sat on. You will be unclean until evening if you touch it. If a man has sexual intercourse with her and her blood touches him, her menstrual impurity will be transmitted to him. He will remain unclean for 7 days, and any bed on which he lies will be unclean. If a woman has a flow of blood for many days that is unrelated to her menstrual period, or if the blood continues beyond the normal period, she is ceremonially unclean. As during her menstrual period, the woman will be unclean as long as the discharge continues. Any bed she lies on and any object she sits on during that time will be unclean, just as during her normal menstrual period. If any of you touch these things, you will be ceremonially unclean. You must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. When the woman's bleeding stops, she must count off 7 days. Then she will be ceremonially clean. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 5, reading verses 21 to 36. This can be found on page 765 of the Pew Bibles. As Jesus goes to help the daughter of a man who was the leader of the local synagogue, a woman with a bleed problem reaches out to him in the middle of a crowd. And we see the contrast in how he treats her with how the religious leaders treated all women in the time of the Old Testament. Mark 5, reading from verse 21. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to them, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Children can sometimes ask questions that can be deeper in meaning than we first appreciate. Like 4-year-old Sally, who asked her mum, "Mum, what happens when you die?" Her mother replied, "You go to heaven." "No," Sally corrected her, "I mean, when you die, do I get your stuff?" Then there was 7-year-old Susie, who in a moment of revelation said to her mum, "Mum, I'm glad I'm not a boy." Intrigued by her declaration, her mum asked, "Why is that?" To which Susie replied, "I like being smart." In contrast, 5-year-old Daisy was talking with her dad and asked, "Dad, why does mummy wear makeup?" Her dad carefully and tactfully replied, "To look pretty." After thinking for a moment, Daisy looked at her dad and said, "Dad, you should wear makeup." Conversations between child and parent or child and their carer can be awkward. In fact, back in my day, when I was a lad, there were certain taboo subjects that you would never discuss between mum and son or dad and daughter. It's often portrayed in movies with some hilarity when parents are discussing whether or not the mum or dad has had to talk about the birds and bees with their daughter or son. What's never asked is whether dads had to talk with their daughter about the subject of our Bible readings this morning, the subject of menstrual periods. It was a taboo subject back in my day, but oh, how things have changed. I'd like you to watch this advert that I recently saw on television.
If you're out shopping for your daughter, you know what food they like, right? But when it comes to pads and tampons, you don't have a clue. I have a daughter, I get it. It can feel hard to start the conversation, but that's okay. Hey Girls, a UK-based social enterprise is here to help us dads end the stigma of talking about periods and buying period products for the young women in your life. Not only that, but they're also supporting young women who don't have access to these products. So visit heygirls.co.uk to learn more. And let's not leave dads out of the bloody conversation.
How things have changed. Jesus was never one to be bound by historical taboos. And in our reading from Mark 5, we hear of his encounter with a woman with a menstrual problem that would have made the religious leaders of his day run for cover. In our gospel reading, we encounter two people in need of healing from the Lord. One is to be expected, the daughter of the leader of the local synagogue. Everyone would have agreed that she deserved to be healed. And no one would have been surprised if she did not have to wait in the queue like everyone else, but escorted to the front of the queue. The other is someone who is alone, desperate, unclean, cast out by the religious elites and rejected by the religious faithful, all of whom would have run away from her rather than come to her aid. But Jesus is not one of those who does the expected, not one to worry about the etiquette of the day. He is not concerned by what others will think of him. He is focused on the people in need. When the woman reaches out and touches his robe as Jesus passes by, it's an act of desperation, but it's also an act of courage and faith. Picture the scene. Try and put yourself in her place. There is no way you can approach this man directly. His popularity precedes him. He is a healer and also a mighty preacher, surrounded by his faithful followers who would not take kindly to his contamination by someone considered unclean. And then there's the crowd all around pressing in on Jesus as he passes by. And they would have been outraged at your presence, because just touching you would perhaps prevent any healing they hope to get from Jesus. Such was the condemnation of someone unclean in that day. But despite the danger, the real danger of physical harm, you see Jesus approaching, and something touches your soul within you, and you take courage and reach out. You reach out not to touch Jesus, for that would have made him unclean. Even though your desire for healing is great, even though you have endured misery for years and years, yet something within you has concern for the well-being of this man. And so you reach out and touch his robe instead of him. And in an instant, your life is changed. In that moment, you know the bleeding has stopped. You don't know how. You only know. And you close your eyes to savor the joy that fills your body. A joy so intense that it's almost indescribable. But as you open your eyes, you are shocked to find that Jesus has stopped just a few paces away. And you see his eyes searching the crowd. And you know he's searching for someone. And you know in your heart that he's searching for you. Where one moment before your body was filled with joy, now it's filled with fear. And yet, still within you, courage remains. Trembling, you move forward and then fall on your knees before Jesus with your head bowed low, and you confess to him what you have done. Wonderfully, as if in a dream, you hear the words of Jesus. Not words that admonish you or condemn you for what you have done, but words of love and compassion. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Daughter, he called you daughter. For so long, you have been excluded from the life of others. Now, with one word, Jesus fills your heart with welcome. More than that, by calling you daughter, he includes you in his family. And as you look into his eyes, you see unbounded love. You see genuine joy in his heart that you have reached out to him. And you see a peace
that this world could never have given you. So what do we learn today from the encounter between Jesus and the bleeding woman? Well, Jesus was on his way to heal the important person's daughter. It was a blue light situation. Jairus was a VIP, the leader of the local synagogue. But by healing the bleeding woman first, we learn that Jesus does not have favorites. There is no class structure as far as Jesus is concerned. He treats everyone the same. Can you imagine if you had been waiting in accident in an emergency for an hour or so with a suspected broken collarbone, when suddenly in comes a member of the royal family with the exact same symptoms as you? Who do you think would get seen first? I very much doubt that it would be you. From our Bible story, we also learn that we need to have patience and perseverance. Although the woman was healed in an instant, this was a journey that had lasted for 12 years. And in that time, she continuously sought help. She never gave up the pursuit of her healing. And the same can be said for our own healing, be it physical or spiritual. We should never give up seeking what we want. And we should also know that in the end, if all other avenues of hope have been found wanting, if we turn to the Lord in faith, he will grant us what we need. Notice, it's what we need, not necessarily what we want. And we also learn that when we are low, so condemned by the world, so outcast and alone, when everyone else walks away from us, we learn that Jesus will not pass by. And we also learn there are different ways that people have faith and trust in the Lord. Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, an educated man of faith who knew the scriptures well, he pleaded fervently with Jesus to come and lay his hands on his daughter that she might be healed. In contrast, the bleeding woman had faith in the power of Jesus that did not depend upon actual physical contact. They both had faith, just different. If you read on in chapter 5, you will find that Jesus goes to the house of Jairus, where a different crowd are waiting, and they are weeping and wailing at the death of his 12-year-old daughter. When Jesus says to them, "The child isn't dead, she's only sleeping," they laugh at him. They know death. They've seen death. They live with it. It's all around them. They laugh at him. So Jesus sends them all away. And he takes Jairus and his wife into the room where their daughter is lying. And then, holding her hand, Jesus says, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And in an instant, she stood up alive and well. Jesus healed them both according to their need and the need of those around them. So let us trust Jesus according to our need and have faith that he will grant what we need according to his will, for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, sometimes when troubles come upon us, we can lose focus on you. We can be so caught up in our pain and struggles that we demand things. And we shout that it's not fair, that you haven't acted. And all too often, Lord, we can turn our back on you because we do not have the patience or perseverance. And sometimes we don't even have the faith. Let us learn, Lord, from the example of the woman with the bleed. A woman had faith not to touch you, but just to reach out. So that when we are in greatest need, that we can reach out to you and have faith that we can be healed. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.